Here we go. Okay, seeking God's help. A couple of weeks ago, I did a teaching on seeking God himself. And I'm going to recap that just briefly. And then we're going to focus on seeking God's help when you're in trouble. Because it's the Word of God says that God is a very present help in trouble. So, in seeking God's help, first of all, seek God himself all the time, not just when you're in trouble. God's available when we are in trouble, but he is present all the time. And most of the time, you know, when things are good and peaceful, we want to be aware of God's presence and learn and grow in our relationship with him. So get to know your Father through his Son, through his Word. And spend time with him in prayer. And then live your life according to God's word. If that really should be the goal of our lives. A lot of people have goals to attain to a certain position, to accomplish certain things, to make a certain amount of money. But the best goal that a person can have is to live their life according to God's will. That's really what's going to make the difference after it's all over. Did you do God's will? And not only when it's all over, but every step along the way. Because when you're living according to God's will, we'll see that it says you're like a tree that's planted in a watered garden, where you're cared for and protected. And then we'll ask a question, you know, can a believer get in trouble? We know unbelievers can and do all the time. Right? But what about believers? What about those that have confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and believe God raised him from the dead? People that believe in God, can you still get in trouble? We'll take a look at that. And if you do get in trouble, to seek God's help. And we'll look at an example of a king named Jehoshaphat, who got in trouble and came to God to help, and see what God did for him. And then the last point will be, when God gives you help, take it. Okay? So let's get started with this. First of all, seek God himself. Seek his face. Go to Psalm 105, please. Psalm 105. And we're going to look at verses 3 and 4. So go to Book of the Psalms in the middle of the Bible. And then find number 105. And then verse 3, it says, glory ye in his holy name. I mean, that's the thing to be excited about, the things to be talking about our God and what he's all about. And let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. And we heard that in the Tongues and interpretation and prophecy today, to seek God, seek him out. When you do, your heart's going to rejoice, because when you seek him, you're going to find him. He's not hiding from you. He will make himself known to you, and to know God is just the greatest thing ever. Verse 4 says, seek the Lord and his strength, his mighty power. Get to know how wonderful God is, how wise he is, how mighty he is, how compassionate he is. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face forevermore. Seek his face evermore. When it talks about God's face, and it is the word for, you know, a physical face, but it means his presence. Seek his presence. Get to know him. Get to know him as your Father, because that's the relationship that we have with him when we believe in his Son, Jesus Christ. And it says, seek his face evermore. The word evermore means continually, at all times. So it's not like, okay, I'm seeking God, found him, good, move on to something else. No, you're always be seeking God's face. Always be aware of his presence. Always seeking his wisdom, his counsel, always wanting to know what's God's will for me right now. So seek that. Seek God at all times. And seek God in times of peace and in times of trouble. Because if we're to seek God continually at all times, it includes the times when things are good. And it includes the time when things are bad, right? So there's some people that only seek God in the good times, and in the bad times they freak out and they go somewhere else for help. There's other people that only seek God when they're in trouble, because they don't want to bother him if it's not big and important. So they only seek God when they're in trouble, but they miss out on all the other wonderful times that they could have getting to know him and learning about him. So the thing that God says to do is seek him at all times. Seek God when you're peaceful. Seek God when you're in trouble. Seek God when you're healthy. Seek God when you need healing. Seek God when you're full of joy. Seek God when you're very sad. At all times, seek God. Because look at Psalm 16. Psalm 16, verse 11, talks about God's presence. Again, his face, his presence. Thou wilt show me, this is 16, verse 11, thou, speaking to God, thou, God, wilt show me the path of life, the way to live, you know, the path, you know, stay on the road. You get off the path, that's usually when you get bug bites or fall in a ditch or twist your ankle. Some bad things can happen when you go off the path. God will show you the path of life. If you ask him, he'll show you. If you don't bother to ask, then you might not ever get it. In thy presence is fullness of joy. You know, we're not, it shouldn't be that we spend all our time in misery, all our time feeling, you know, life is awful. When we are in the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. And enjoying that joy has to do with what are you focused on? What are you looking at? When you look at God in the spiritual realm and you know that you're saved and you know you're at peace with God and you know he loves you, there's fullness of joy. Pay attention to the things that are good that God's done. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. That's God's hand of blessing. So we seek his face, his presence, but we also accept what he gives us with his hand. And there are pleasures forevermore. You don't have to go to the world for pleasures. Let God be your pleasure. Take pleasure in the things of God. It's the best pleasures that you can enjoy. So when things are going well, take time to read God's word and to study God's word, to ask the questions and find the answers, and take the time to talk with him and get to know him. When things are peaceful, when there's nothing bad going on, those are the best times. Don't waste those good times. Use those good times to get to know God better. Don't wait until the next crisis. Enjoy everything God has for you today, right now, when things are peaceful and good, when the power's on, when the water's running, you know, when you're not injured or sick. You know, take the time to learn about God from his word and get to know him. But again, we seek God at all times. So there are times where you do need God's help. If, you know, trouble comes. Look at Psalm 46, verse 1. It says, God is our refuge and strength. You see that? I'll give you a minute to go to Psalm 46, verse 1. It says, God is our refuge and strength. That means he protects us. And he strengthens us. And he is a very present help in trouble. So you can avoid the trouble, and, or you can stand up to the trouble with God's refuge and strength. But there are times you're still going to need his help because you might be facing something that's, you know, more than you can handle on your own. And God is present, a very present help in trouble. He is right within you. He's above all, through all, and in you all. He's right there, a very present help in trouble. So if you ever get in trouble, God is present, and he will help you. I want you to remember that. If you ever get in trouble, God is present, and he will help you. I'll be reminding you of this as we go along. Now, go to Psalm 121. In verse 1, this is a verse that is not punctuated correctly in the Bible. There may be some versions that have this correct, but I haven't seen one yet. But I'll keep looking. But in Psalm 1, verse 1, it says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. Does our help come from the hills? No. It should be punctuated, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, period. But then the question, from whence cometh my help? Where does my help come from? Should be a question mark there. And if you have a copy of the Companion Bible by E.W. Bullinger, in Psalm 121, he says, should be punctuated as a question. Because there are verses that specifically say, my help does not come from the hills. Verse 2 answers the question, from whence, from where cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Okay? That's the answer to the question, from whence, from where cometh my help? Where does my help come from? It comes from the Lord. It comes from God, the one who made the heavens and the earth, one who made the hills and the valleys and everything else, you know, the sky, the water, everything. That's where our help comes from. Don't go to other sources. Go to God. Always go to God for help. When in trouble, go to God for help instead of other sources. Okay. Now, the help that God gives you might come maybe by way of another person or something that he does. But go to God himself for help. Even if a person helps you, don't let that person be your only source of help. You're going to limit yourself. Okay? Always go to God himself, the one who made the heaven and the earth. And then let him decide how to give you that help. We'll look again some examples. But first of all, you can avoid many troubles in life by deciding to live according to God's will, because that's your choice. God will not make you do it, okay? Even if you believe in him, he does not control your life. He doesn't stop you from making the wrong decisions. He may warn you, he may reprove and correct you when he sees you're doing something wrong. He may encourage you to do what is right, but he doesn't make you make the right decisions, okay? That's up to you. In Proverbs chapter 3, I'd encourage you to read the whole chapter here, and of course the whole book of Proverbs, and of course the whole Bible, but right now let's just look at a few verses from chapter 3. In verse 1 of Proverbs, it's right after Psalms, it says, my son, forget not my law. This is like a father teaching his child how to live according to the will of God. So my son, forget not my law. Now, we're not under the law, you know, since Jesus Christ fulfilled it, but we have God's word. So don't forget his word. While they were under the law was the best thing ever. It was the best thing available during the time that they were under the law. Now we have a different word that's addressed to us. So now that's the best thing available. But it's again, under the law, it was written, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. I mean, you know, hear what I tell you, remember it, and then do the things that I tell you to do. Think of God himself speaking this to you. My son, don't forget my law, my word. In fact, in the New Testament, it says that we live by the law of the Spirit of life. So there's still a law for us to live by. It's just not the law of Moses anymore. But remember God's law. Let your heart keep his commandments. Why? For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. It means you'll have many, many days without trouble. Long life, full days, much peace. It means, and peace means more than just, you know, nothing going on. It means you're prospering. Life is going the way it's supposed to go. You're protected, you're safe, you're healthy, you're well. Okay? Nothing's wrong. Nothing's broken. Nothing needs to be fixed. So peace, that should be our normal state of peace. We have peace with God. And the Word of God gives us that peace in our daily living. Skip down to verse 21. It says, my son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Sound wisdom. With God telling you what to do. Discretion. God helping you make the right decisions. Okay? The word of God gives you the ability to make right decisions. If you're seeking to do God's will, that's the first step of making right decisions. Decisions that will affect the rest of your life. Okay? So don't let the things that God has told us depart from our eyes. Keep them always in front of us. That's why I read the Bible every single day. And trust me, I've been doing it for 40 years, have not gotten tired of it. It does not get old. It's, you know, because the author is present with you. You're learning his words. So keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Yeah. Life and grace. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When you're doing what is right before God, when you're receiving his wisdom and living by it, when you're making right godly decisions, you're going to walk safely. Your foot won't stumble. You won't fall into the traps that are around you on the sides of the path. You know, you won't make the mistakes or that cause self-harm. And you'll be warned when others are trying to harm you. God can warn you of these things. Okay? So living according to God's will can help you avoid the mistakes and traps and self-inflicted harm. Less trouble, more peace. Okay? Let's go to Psalm 1, the very first psalm. Again, the psalms were songs. So the people of Israel would learn to sing these songs. And it would remind them of the things that are important about God and about their relationship with God and what God's will is for them. You know, David wrote most of the Psalms, and there was another man named Asaph who wrote some others. But these are just beautiful. You know, Frank has set some of them to music, and But originally, all of these were set to music. They were all sung. Psalm 1:1 says, blessed or happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So if you avoid these three things, you're going to be happy. So don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, don't stand in the way of sinners, and don't sit in the seat of the scornful. We'll look at these in more detail. But what does he do? His delight is in the law of the Lord. It means he's reading it. He's studying it, not because he's told that he has to, but he delights in it. He sees God's word as, oh, these are the answers to life. This is like a treasure. It's better than a treasure. Once you have it, you know, nobody can take it from you. You can't spend it and have it all be gone. You can share it with many, many people, and you still have as much as when you started giving it away. And it continues to grow because you keep learning more. It's like a fountain of living waters, you might say. So happy is the man who doesn't do these things, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. So for us, it would be in God's word, especially the word that's addressed to us, like the epistles that Paul wrote, that Peter wrote, that John wrote. We meditate on these things day and night. We think about them all the time. We speak it to ourselves. That's where meditate means, to speak to yourself. You know, instead of speaking to yourself about complaining how awful things are, as many people do, speak to yourself the things that God says, that God, you know, the things that God's done for you, the things that God has shown you, the things that God says to do. Speak those things to yourself. When? Day and night. So do it all day long. And then when the day's over, do it all night long. And when the night's over, do it the next day. All the time. The result is, verse 3, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And that means it's an irrigated garden. It's not a wild tree that just happened to wind up, you know, the bird ate a seed and pooped it out and it fell into the ground and grew. That's how many wild trees get out there. But planted intentionally in a place where the gardener wanted that tree, where he could care for that tree, where he could make sure the conditions are good for that tree to grow and produce fruit. Okay? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. That's the man that delights in the word of God. A planted tree by like irrigated canals where there's a constant source of water that's being provided for that tree. And that tree will bring forth its fruit in this season. So the fruit is the part that others can enjoy. So your life is blessed and other people benefit from your life too. That bringeth forth his fruit in a season, his leaf also shall not wither. That means when drought conditions, when there's no rain, that tree is still thriving because the gardener provides the water, you see, provides what the tree needs. The gardener provides it. The tree is cared for. It's protected. That's your life. When you delight in God, you have God himself, the creator of all things, planting you where he wants you to be, where he knows is going to be good for you, taking care of you, providing for you, shielding you from the things that might affect others, don't have to affect you. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You see, whatever you do, God can work in different people to do different things and have all of them prosper. God doesn't give one profession everybody has to do. There are many, many things you can do in your life, many activities that are good, and God can direct you to do the things that that are going to be good for you and have you prosper. Have you moved forward, have advanced. God is just wonderful. Like if you have a garden, the garden is not just one plant, right? It's usually a number of plants together. And the gardener organizes that garden so everything works together. Everything grows together. Everything benefits each other. And the birds and the bugs and the bees, they pollinate and everything grows, produces fruit. The gardener plans the garden and takes care of it, pulls the weeds and waters it. You see, God does those things for us. God cares for and protects those who delight in doing his will. And God causes them to prosper. Okay? So again, you do this, many, many troubles will be avoided because you're doing what's right before God. Now, can a believer get in trouble? Answer is yes. And here's how. If you want to get in trouble, let's see how it happens. From Psalm 1, verse 1, it said there's three things that happy man will avoid. Walking in the counsel of the ungodly, standing in the way of sinners, sitting in the seat of the scornful. Three things God tells you right off the bat, don't do these. Other people may, but if you delight in him, he's doing you a favor by saying, these are three things not to do. Don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. What is it to walk in the counsel? Counsel is advice, instruction, do this. The counsel of the ungodly is not going to be good advice, it's going to be bad advice, right? Because the source is an ungodly source. It doesn't come from God. It comes from someone who's an ungodly person who doesn't have respect for God. Is that person going to help you? No. Why would you even think of going? Well, you might see a person who looks like he's prospering. You say, well, I'm going to do what he does. The prosperity of the wicked is only temporary at best. And the advice they give is not good advice for others. Because if someone's ungodly, they're probably going to give you advice that's going to benefit themselves rather than you. Right? They're going to tell you to do something that's going to benefit them, not you, because they're not looking out for you. They're ungodly people. Or if they say, do what I do, and they're doing ungodly things, Because you look at the source. Jesus Christ said, a bad tree doesn't produce good fruit. A good tree doesn't produce bad fruit. So if it's an ungodly person, don't follow their advice. If you see that they're ungodly, now some people pretend to be godly. They present themselves as the good person. Devil himself presented himself as an angel of light, right? But you can tell by their lives. You can tell by the fruit. You can tell by what they produce. You can tell by what they believe or what they, what comes out of their mouth. Line it up with the word of God that you know. It helps you tell the difference between the genuine and the counterfeit. So if you want to get in trouble, follow bad advice. But if you want to avoid trouble, don't do that. The next thing is stand in the way of sinners. So that happy, blessed man doesn't stand in the way of sinners. Sinners, what is it to sin? It means to miss the mark. Here's the target, but I'm hitting there or there or there, but not in the middle, okay? If I'm standing in the way of sinners, that doesn't mean they're trying to get through and I'm blocking their path. It means the way, the path that's always wrong. If someone is a sinner, not just someone who made a mistake, but someone who is a sinner, means he always does it wrong, okay? There are people that always do the wrong thing. Don't stand in that path, stay in the right path. And to stand in the wrong path is to stay there, okay? It's wrong. You can see that it's wrong. Well, don't stay there. Don't stand. Stay put in that path. Come back to the right path, the way of God, you see? And to sit in the seat of the scornful. The scornful is the one who judges, and usually judges badly. To sit in the seat, to sit as judge of God's word, is a place that no one has the right to be. Mm-hmm. Okay? But you hear people do it. They hear what God has to say and say, I don't like that. I've got a better idea. Or somebody else has a better idea than what God has. That's judging and belittling God's word. Well, if you're judging God's word, you're judging God. You're not above him to judge him. Neither is anybody else. So people that judge God and judge God's word and belittle God's word to try to make themselves bigger, wiser, more important than God himself, that's not a good position to be in. What they should be doing is respecting God's word and obeying God's word. But there are people that scorn it. They say, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to even bother reading it. I'm not going to, and if I read it, I'm not going to do what it says. They've made up their mind. So these are three ways to get into trouble. They all lead to trouble, okay? So all of the above, they can be avoided, thankfully. But what happens if you miss something? You know, what if you get deceived by someone giving bad advice who claims it to be good advice and you believe them? What happens if, you know, you see other people doing something and you join in because it seems like fun or whatever? Or you see people judging God's word and some of that judgment rubs off on you and say, well, maybe it isn't so great. And you get deceived or you miss something. Then what happens? Well, God is present and he will help you. Remember that? A very present help in trouble. So you can avoid a lot of trouble. But say you get distracted, you forget something, you get tricked, you fall asleep at the switch, you get blindsided, God is still present and he will still help you, okay? Sometimes the trouble is not self-inflicted. So if you were to go on any of these paths, it would be. But sometimes you're doing what's right. You're not doing anything wrong. And yet trouble happens. Why? Like in Psalm 3, verse 1, it says, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. When someone is doing the will of God, those that are not doing the will of God might not appreciate the fact that you are. Plus, if they think there's something wrong with God's word and you're doing God's word, they might think that you're wrong and they might not like you. So you can get targeted. And ultimately, any attack is coming from the devil, the adversary. He doesn't like believers. He knows his days are numbered. He knows that he has, you know, he tried to make himself bigger and better than God in his own mind, and he got knocked down, and, you know, he's doomed, but he wants to take as many people with him as he can. So he's always trying to cause trouble. But if you are targeted for an attack, God is present and he will help you. Psalm 34, verse 19 says, we'll go there. Psalm 34, verse 19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. And so if it's the righteous, that means they're doing what's right, right? They're believing the right thing. They're doing the right thing. They're walking on the right path. They're avoiding what's, you know, the bad advice. They're not standing in the way of sinners. They're not sitting in the seat of the scornful. They're delighting in the word of God. But still, many afflictions. But the next phrase is, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. So they're not permanent afflictions, temporary at worst. And you have God delivering you out of them all. Again, he can help you avoid them to begin with by his protection, by his guidance, by his care for you. But if you happen to slip up when you're trying to do what's right, God can help you. Or if you get attacked from the outside, you know, or someone else gets attacked that's close to you and you get collateral damage, it can happen. God will deliver the righteous out of all their afflictions. That is a promise. And it doesn't say out of some of them. The Lord delivereth them out of them. What's the last word?
All.
There's not a thing that can happen to you that God cannot help you with. And never forget that. So sometimes other people's troubles trouble you. Okay? They're not doing the will of God, and they don't like the fact that you are. They think that you're wrong. They think that you're evil. They think they have made an enemy of you, and they're out to get you. So you may be targeted for an attack, or someone else that's close to you might get attacked or might do what's wrong or might fall into a trap, and it affects you. When that happens, remember this: God is present and he will help you. Okay. You remember one thing from today: God is present and he will help you. He's a very present help in trouble. Now, I'd like to take a few minutes to read 2 Chronicles chapter 20 with you. Okay, so I'm going to pull up Esort. Here it is. I'm going to switch to King James Version. I'm going to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We'll start it in verse 1. I want to read to you an example of someone who loved God. He was a king named Jehoshaphat. He was a king of Judah. He was descendant of David. He always tried to do what was right. He made some mistakes, you know, like trying to partner with the king of Israel to the north, who was really a bad guy. And he got reproved by God for that. But he did many right things. He set up judges in his kingdom, encouraged them to judge faithfully according to the will of God, not to take bribes, you know, to put their heart into doing what's right. And his kingdom prospered, but then there came a day when trouble came from the outside. Verse 1 says, it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other besides the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. So there were three armies. The Moabites and the Ammonites, they were descendants of Abraham's nephew Lot. God had always told Israel, don't fight against these people. They're your relatives. You know. And the other one that we'll find out was, says Mount Seir will show up. Those are the descendants of Esau, Jacob's brother. God had told the descendants of Jacob, of Israel, not to fight against Esau, the Edomites, the descendants of Esau. But now they're gathering together to fight against Judah, which is, you know, part of Israel. Verse 2. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria, And behold, they be in Hazez on Tamar, which is in Gedi, which would be nearby to where they are in Jerusalem. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to do what? To seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Now, Jehoshaphat was one of those men who sought God all the time, but now he's in trouble. So he's going to set aside some time, a fast, where they're not going to spend the time preparing their food and eating. They're going to put aside eating for a day and come together and go to God to seek his help. Verse 4, and Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. So the region of Judah had a number of cities and towns in it, but they all came to Jerusalem where the temple was, the temple that Solomon built. And Solomon, when he built the temple, he prayed to God. He says, when we're in trouble, we're going to come here and pray to you, and we ask that you listen to us and help us. And God said he would. So that's what they did. In verse 5, it says, and Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord, God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? The heathen are the nations, the Gentiles. And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gave it to thy seed, to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? This is one of the places where Abraham's called the friend of God. Verse 8, and they dwelt therein, talking about God's people, he's reviewing the history with God. They dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil come upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, God's face, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold, so this is all established in front of all the people. Now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, those are the Edomites, descendants of Esau, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade, when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. God gave Moses instructions. When you go through the land from Egypt into the promised land, do not attack the Ammonites or the Moabites or the Edomites. They're your relatives. Leave them alone. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit it. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And when you're in trouble, you know, you seek the word of God to see what does God's word say to do in this situation. And if you see it in the word of God, just do it. But there will be some times where you're faced with a situation and you don't know what to do. You just don't know. So what do? You ask God like Jehoshaphat did. Say, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. It means we're going to look for you to tell us. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives and their children. They brought the kids, and they're all quiet. This is a serious, serious situation. You know, there's an army that's three times as big as them. They're from three different places, all joined together to attack them. You know, their lives are at stake. This is serious times. This is what you would call trouble. So they asked God for his help, and then they stood there. They stopped speaking. And this is an important point. When you ask God for help, you know, tell him the whole situation like Jehoshaphat did. But when you're done telling him, then shut up, okay? You don't have to give God all your suggestions. You can ask him, should I do this? Should I do this? But you don't have to continually. It has to be a time when you go to God and you ask him for help that you be quiet in your mind. You close your mouth and you're looking for a word from him. You have your eyes and your ears open. Verse 15, and he said, verse 14, then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, who wrote some of the Psalms, good friend of David, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. So the Spirit of the Lord came upon this man, Jehaziel. And he said, hearken ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz. Very specific information. And ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Now, this is not blanket revelation for all time. This was specific in that situation because there were many other times where they were attacked, had a fight, and they did need to fight in that battle. Okay? They had to get their swords and their spears and their rocks and things, and they had to do the fighting. This particular time, they were told, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. And it fits with the rest of the word of God because these are three nations that they were not supposed to fight against. The children of Ammon and Moab and Esau, they weren't supposed to fight against. So there was a reason in this situation why they did not need to fight. And that's what he told them. Set yourselves, you know, show up, but stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord with you. Salvation, he's going to rescue them. He's going to deliver them. He's going to help them in this trouble. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Very present help in trouble, right? And Jehoshaphat said, thank you very much, Jehaliel. Does anybody else have another suggestion? No, he didn't, did he? When he got the word from God, that was it. They did not audition what God said and ask for other options. They heard the word of God that applied to this situation, and that is the only thing that they considered. So when that man spoke by the Spirit of God to Jehoshaphat and all the people, Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, showing respect and obedience to God. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites, the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites, stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. They're celebrating already because God said he was going to fight for them and they would have victory. They're not singing the blues. They're singing victory songs. And they rose early in the morning. Why? Because God said to do this, and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa, where God said to go. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God." That means trust in him. Believe in him. Have confidence in him. So shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, the specific words that are spoken to you from God by way of the people that he put his spirit on. So shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." God's mercy, that's his help, based on his compassion. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come together against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. The people of Judah did not have to fight. This army that came against Judah turned on each other. And they all killed each other. They were not supposed to be attacking Judah, according to God's will. They were doing what was definitely wrong. They were against the will of God, and they wound up fighting against each other, and they destroyed one another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, that means they would, gather what was of value from the dead bodies, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering the spoil. It was so much. And that was okay for them to do. That was what they were supposed to do after the battle was over. And on the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Baraka, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of the place is called the Valley of Baraka, or blessing unto this day. Then they returned every man of Judah and Jerusalem, Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them, to go again to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets into the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. Isn't that wonderful? Just one example. And there's many, many, many in the Word of God. Examples of people that were righteous people that loved God, and they got in trouble and they sought God's help and God helped them. You see it over and over and over again in the Word of God. So what did they do? They were attacked, they prayed, they asked God what to do, and then they stayed quiet until God answered by words. And as soon as they received God's counsel, they acted on it. Didn't look anywhere else. Didn't ask for other options. They went with it. One more verse I'd like to share with you is in Hebrews chapter 4. And then we'll wrap this up. Hebrews 4, verse 16. It's the end of the chapter in Hebrews 4 in the New Testament. And it says, "Let us therefore," and the "therefore" is that Jesus Christ is at the right hand of God as the high priest. Okay? Because Jesus Christ is there and has given us access to God, it says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace." Not hiding, not crawling, not creeping, not cringing, but to come boldly into the throne of grace as God's children, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Obtain it. not to ask for it, not knowing if you're going to get it or not, but to obtain it. To obtain is lambano. Okay? Lambano it. To lambano means to actively receive, to take it. Obtain mercy, God's help. And find grace. Grace, that which is given to you out of love, to help in time of need. So again, we're seeking God all the time, but in the time of trouble, go to God confidently to obtain, to lambano, to take that mercy, okay? To actively receive it. And then let God tell you. You don't have to tell God what to do. Tell God what you need. Explain the situation. Ask for his help. And then let him tell you what to do. Or let him tell you what he's going to do. Look for a word from God. Not just throw it up there and hope something good happens. Look for a word from God. And when you get that word, it might be in the scripture. It might be something God tells you, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. It might be something that another believer tells you by word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. It might be an angel delivering a message. You see that in the scriptures. God has many ways of providing help. And when he gives you that help, take it. Okay? When God gives you help, however he gives it to you, take it. Take it. Don't refuse it because maybe it's not in the way you think God should have done it. If he offers you help, if he gives you help, take it. So to wrap up, first, see, seeking God's help. Remember that he is a very present help in trouble. So first, seek God himself. You know, in the peaceful times, as well as when you're in trouble, seek God himself, seek his face. Get to know God as your Father through his Son, through his Word. Okay? Then live your life according to God's will. Just make up your mind, I'm going to do whatever God's Word is. Whatever his will is, whatever he tells me, that's what I'm going to do. Delight in the Word of God. Take your pleasure from the Word of God. And God will take care of you like a tree planted in a watered garden, and much trouble will be avoided. There would be a lot of things that will not happen to you that are bad because you're living according to God's will. Can a believer still get in trouble? Yes. But even if you do, God is present and he will help you. If you do get in trouble, seek God's help. Come boldly to his throne of grace. Remember the example of Jehoshaphat and the many, many others. Again, read through the Bible and look at all the examples. Jehoshaphat asked God for help. He waited for his answer. He did what he said. And when God gives you help, take it. Do what he says. Receive what he gives you. Whatever he tells you, whatever he gives you, take the information, take the wisdom, take the supply that he provides. Whatever God gives you, take it. Okay? And God bless everyone. So you may unmute yourself now. And if you have anything to say, any questions to ask, feel free.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
So remember this for yourself and to help others, because there will be times when people come to you for help, right? Direct them to God to get their help.
God bless everyone. Have a wonderful day.
You too.
Love you.
Bye.
Bless you, Hamilton. Karen and Kelsey. Mary Jo, we love you. Matt, God bless you.
Hi, thank you.
Bye. Get done.
Yeah. Bye, Greg. Bye, Lynn.
Bye, Kelsey. Bye, Karen.
My grandson's bye. Hive is gone.
Yay. Hey, God.
Yay. Bless you guys. Have a great day.
Bless you. Bye.
Bye.
Love you.
Bye.
So what did